The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Wow. What a weekend of rugby league. Storms in America, storms in the world of rugby league, man.
I know. None more so than two of the stories we're going to be covering at length tonight.
Yes, no one saw that one, did they?
Tony Smith, leaving Warrington.
9 years, head coach.
It's all coming to a close.
Something's got to end, but no one saw that one.
Hey, to be fair, though, you do get a shelf life, don't you, as a coach? And I think that Tony was starting to reach it. I mean, it's a long time to be in charge of somewhere, and maybe some people get a little bit too comfortable. Maybe that's what Warrington's fallen into the trap of
one
this
bad season. One bad season in nine.
Doesn't matter. I think that had he not been at Warrington and been at another club, he might not even have seen the season out. At least he's getting the opportunity to leave almost on his terms, because he can finish the season, can't he?
He can. It'd be interesting to see where Tony Smith goes next. But yeah, no one saw that one coming. I saw all the reaction on social media, and Warrington fans were gutted.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no doubting about it. He's done a fantastic job at Warrington. He has taken them to that next level. They are a big club again now, aren't they? They are challenging for honours. He's won, three Challenge Cups?
Yes.
Got to two Grand Finals, two League Leaders' Shields in all that as well, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Am I right? Have I read that right?
Yeah, you have.
Just checking.
So, yeah, that's a big story regarding coaches, but... You even got the double whammy of Petr Hicku announcing that he's not going to stay for the next 2 years.
See, that's the one that's going. That's the one that shot me more than the Tony Smith one, I'll be honest, because I thought, yeah, we've finally got a really world-class centre playing his rugby over here in the UK. We're all enjoying his talents. He's been absolutely a breath of fresh air for Warrington, hasn't he? Making metres aplenty, scoring tries, setting them up, breaking tackles, making metres galore, and we've only got another couple of games, and then he's heading off down under.
Yeah, New Zealand Warriors are meant to be his next project as a player.
Yeah, so we'll be hearing from him. There was also the small matter of Hull Kingston Rovers getting promoted from the Championship. That's 2 years on the trot that this procedure has promoted a club from the Championship.
We did say Hull KR were a team on a mission at the start of the season, and they proved to be the case, didn't they?
The thing is, though, I wouldn't like to take all of their squad members to an away match. They've got like nearly 40 players. You need a double-decker bus.
Probably one or two will be chopped away to the wayside for the start of the Super League Challenge. I wonder if Tim Sheens will be sticking around.
Interesting. Well, we'll be hearing from him a little bit later on.
Yeah.
We've also got a bit of Justin Holbrook. St Helens got themselves...
What a dramatic end that was.
Out of the fat and into the fire, didn't they?
They were out of it.
They were.
Until Scott Griggs decided to do an air kick. What was he thinking? Just dive on the ball.
Oh, God knows.
Dive on the ball.
God knows.
Saints would have been out the top four and in full stop. Wakefield would have been able to fight for another day. All right, they're still calm, but the pressure's on them now.
There's a bit of Dennis Betts to come.
There's a bit of Dennis Betts.
And we've got an exclusive interview with Andy Maisey, the new chairman of Swinton Lions.
So yes, they're a team in a lot of doldrum news around surrounding. Is that the right word to describe it? It's not, is it?
No.
Black clouds.
They're coming out of the doldrums.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of dark clouds surrounding Swinton. But it's good to see they secure certain championship status.
All but.
That's good news.
All but. It could still be possible for Oldham to get it, but they've got to win by about 170 points.
Oh, yeah, I knew they're playing.
They're playing Dewsbury at the weekend.
The informed team in the Championship.
Well, they lost at the weekend.
Doesn't matter. Still the informed team in the Championship. Newcastle's done a great job.
He has done a fantastic job, yeah. And he was another guy that we spoke to earlier this season. He's ever since we've had the Midas touch, you know. I'm sure this is it. So he spoke to us and with the Midas touch, so it's going to happen to Swinton now, isn't it, now?
Yeah, good to see that you have secured search championship status, and hopefully, under the guideship of Andy Maisey, they can get themselves back into Swinton, and maybe the future's bright for the Blue and Whites.
That's certainly what I think a lot of Swinton fans will be hoping for. They've basically seen a lost generation of people, haven't they? 25 years it's been since they last played in Swinton.
Wow. I think I was there.
Did you go that final season?
I might have been that final game, yeah.
You see, it was a ground I never had the pleasure of going to, Station Road.
I went a few semi-finals. I used to go there when Widnes played, and when the great Danny Wilson used to play for him.
Oh, yes. Ryan Giggs' dad.
Ryan Giggs' dad, yeah.
See, we know our rugby league, don't we?
we mentioned the big story. It's all about Tony Smith announced at the weekend that Warrington had decided that Tony had to leave at the end of the season. They're going to be looking for a new coach. Looks like Michael Maguire is the hot favourite to replace Tony Smith, but watch this space on that one. But before all that came about, Warrington had the moments against Leeds Centurions, it's got to be said. Neil Dukes was probably scratching his head wondering why on earth he didn't win that game, because Matty Dawson could have scored a hat-trick.
I think, you know, like, I know that I've seen a lot of negatives towards Matty Dawson, but he's been one of these guys that has been a tremendous signing for Lee. And like you were saying about Tony's one bad season, well, one bad game doesn't make a bad player.
Not at all, no. But if he took those chances, could have been a different scoreline, and Warrington would have had to fight another day to secure Super League status. But for me, it was never in doubt at the start of these eights. I always thought Warrington would get the job done. They'd done it with games in hand. And it's a big win against Leeds Centurions that did it for them.
Yeah. I mean, it was 20 points to 18 at half time, wasn't it, to Warrington? And they went on and completed the job. That was after Lee had built a 30 points to 24 lead heading into the final 15 minutes. And crucially, the try which sort of dragged Warrington back was scored by none other than former Lee player Chris Hill.
Got finish as well, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah.
Danced his way through the middle.
Danced his way through the middle.
Shall we have some reaction from that game?
Yeah, let's hear from Tony.
Let's hear from Mr. Smith himself.
You weren't going to expect an easy run from somebody who's desperate either, were you? You know, they needed to win today to give themselves a real shot, you know, of escaping their situation. So, it wasn't pretty by any means, but, you know, we got there. We had enough determination. What did we have? 6 tries to 5, wasn't it? Yeah, could have been a little bit more if we kicked a few more goals. And, you know, the spread could have been and made it a little easier on ourselves. But, you know, that's how it goes some games. So we weren't expecting it pretty. They're a type of team that can, you know, make a real fight of it. And then rain at half time, you know, it certainly wasn't going to be a big one like that, but I thought it had a lot of intensity. I thought both teams tried really hard. I thought there was a lot of about both teams, and you know, both teams took some opportunities. Both missed a couple of opportunities as well, I thought. But yeah, we're just pleased to get the 2 points as well, and you know, because of that result just finished, it means that we're secured. So that's one part of our mission, to finish the season strong. And you know, we've got 2 more games that we want to continue to finish strong, but we've, you know, to secure our position back in Super League was obviously the priority. So to get it done as quick as we did is very pleasing. I'm not sure if it's relief. We're going to get it done. There was determination. There was, you know, we weren't going to let anything stop us, even if we weren't playing the best rugby at different stages. We've got enough grit and graft and determination about us to get there. And so, I don't know, I never had a doubt that we were going to secure our... So, relief? No. Pleasure. you know, I'm grateful for the boys' efforts and that they're, you know, they've worked hard enough to get back into that position that, you know, that we never want to get into again in the you know, qualifiers.
Never wanted to get into that position again. He's not going to get the opportunity.
No, he's not. Because they've announced him only after. He's going to be no more at the end of this season. But yeah, he's on about the graft and whatever. But they didn't have it all their own way in those games. I know they've got 2 more games left, but you know, they were pushed all the way by Widnes.
To be fair, Halifax pushed him a long way.
Lucky win against Halifax.
Yeah.
Pushed all the way a bit against London a couple of moments. London might have pipped them at the post. Maybe it's those performances that decided the board at Warrington that enough's enough. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. We'll never know, really, will we? Unless somebody talks in about 5 or 6 years' time. That's what usually
happens,
isn't it?
Maybe in a book.
Maybe Tony will bring out his own book. Maybe I should volunteer to write it.
You write it, yeah.
Yeah, Tony, get in touch. My Twitter address, I'll mention it on my next podcast, don't worry.
Okay. So, yeah, it was Warrington getting the job done, but then it was also announced, it's unusual for Warrington to bring in a player. In the post-match press conference, but with all the rumours surrounding Petr Hickey, that he was going at the end of the season, despite only just signing a 2.5-year contract coming over late this season, A lot of rumours surrounding his future. Is he going to go back home to Australia or basically New Zealand? Well, it was confirmed when they brought him in and he answered the questions.
Yeah, so over the last week, or since I've been here, we've had my family. I've got my family back there. So when we come over here, I sort of settled in. I've enjoyed my time here, but my partner and my son, they weren't ready to come over here and just be away from our extended family, like our parents. So we weren't ready to move on there, and an opportunity to come up to be in New Zealand, and I've got a daughter there, so this has got nothing to do with the club or anything. Like, I've enjoyed my time here, everything, the fans, the club, they've all helped me. Everyone's been like overwhelmed with since I've been here, and it's just a family decision at the end of the day, and my family are all over there, and they're not ready to come here, and like we speak over the phone, we've had like emotional phone calls and everything over the decision, but and saying that, I've enjoyed my time here, and if I had the opportunity to come back again, I would grab it with both hands and come back to the club. They've done good with me since I've been here. It was hard at first because we sort of had no clubs back home that were offering, like due to salary cap reasons and everything. But so we tried to make it work when there were no clubs there. But the Warriors sort of came up just like over the last week or two. And when that come up, my family was overwhelmed that we didn't have to move away from our families too much. So it was more, like my family. I try to persuade her coming over here, how much I enjoyed it and everything. But we just, as a family decision, we weren't ready to move on.
Mind the gap,
I know.
That was quick.
It was a quick interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a lot to say, but short space of time to say it.
So it's a blow, that, isn't it, for Warrington?
It certainly is, because they thought they'd answered the problems with a sense of having lost Reece Evans with injury, then it's a Nancy going Lee. They thought they got the perfect replacement. Just can't seem to hold on to overseas players, because last season it was Sandow who walked away.
Yeah.
This time it's Hicku.
Is there not enough bright lights in Warrington? Is that the case?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like the water.
They'd be struggling if it were Lee then, wouldn't they?
They really would. Or
Wigan.
Or Huddersfield.
Or even St Helens.
Hey, nothing wrong with St Helens.
Oh, okay. You put me right.
Or as Johnny Vegas says, St Helens.
St Helens.
St Helens. They were lucky, weren't they, against Wakefield?
They were really lucky.
Out of it. What was Scott Griggs doing?
I don't know. He took an earth swing at it, didn't he? But I actually backed Wakefield. I thought they played really well. They got themselves, 16-12 up. And it went from a penalty miss at one end of the field from Liam Finn, who had a great game, by the way. Not as good as Bill Tupou. Tupou was excellent. You see them two tries he scored.
Where did he get that pace from?
Wow, he just seared away, didn't he?
Is he just really fast, or was that St. Helens team really slow?
Well, I'd sooner look on the positives of it, mate.
You could say that about that with Ryan Shaw. Was he ultra fast, or was that witness chase too slow?
We'll come to that in just a second. But shall we find out what Justin Albrook had to say? This was in the aftermath. He was talking to our best mate, Steve Manning, and this is what the two of them had to say.
Well, Justin, before we talk about the game coming up this weekend, you needed a result, and you got it, albeit late on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I thought, give Wakefield credit, I thought they played really well. But, you know, we hung in there, we kept trying, and in the end come up with a play to win it, so I'm wrapped with that.
And I suppose, dependent on what happens in the weeks to come, and should you reach the grand final, and should you win the grand final, they always talk about defining results, and this could be the one that's just gone.
Yeah, I hope you're right with all that. It'd be fantastic if you were. So, it was obviously a crucial win for us, and we only just got it late in the game. So, it was really important, and now we've sort of got to move forward and know that we got that win is extremely satisfying.
Did you feel somehow at the end of the day that, first of all, the side were capable and that you still had a chance going into that last couple of minutes?
Oh, definitely. You know, I thought we kept trying. I thought we tried too hard, sort of, with about 30 minutes to go to about 15. I thought we were trying too hard to get it happening straight away, and it was tough conditions in that second half, so we had to sort of settle down a little bit, and we did, and I was happy that we came up with a play at the end.
And you did a bit of a change with the half-back combination, and obviously because of disruptions also brought Johnny into the centres.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal. Unfortunately, Ryan Morgan got ruled out that day of the game. So, yeah, we had to shuffle him around a little bit. But, yeah, we were a little bit off with the combinations there, but I thought it was still important that we got the win, and that's what we got, so it was good.
I suppose part of the big decision that Matty wasn't in the 17, was that because of, you thought, well, I'll try this combination rather than go with Matty?
Yeah, I think the hard thing for Matty is he's had just a stop-start season. You know, he hasn't been able to get going for, you know, one reason or another. Obviously, the last issue was his eye injury, and he just needs a few games to get back to his best. But we've run out of time with that. We've got to obviously be trying to play our best. So it was a tough call to leave him out. And, you know, he's still training well and working hard. So, he could be back in the future.
Matalese was the latest one to come out to the academy crop, stroke reserve crop.
Yeah, it was great to give him his first game. And what a game for him to remember, a good win like that. So, you know, he's been playing great in the academy and then even in our reserves team. So I wanted to reward him for that and show the boys that we're looking at the younger guys in the lower grades. If you're playing really well, you deserve to play. So, I thought he went really well.
So there he is, Justin Albrook, talking about the youth development again at St Helens. They always seem to uncover somebody,
don't they? That conveyor belt is almost as smooth and slick as Wiggins.
I'm glad that he explained there about Johnny Lomax playing in the
centres. Johnny plays anywhere, Lomax.
Because I just get the feeling that I thought, because they gave him a new contract, are they just going to have to play him now when he's fit?
Very versatile, though, isn't he?
He is a very versatile player. He's one of my favourite players in Super League, if I'm being honest.
Because at least if he's fit, and obviously... If they go with what you said, Barber at fullback, it means if they've got any injuries in the halfback role again, and Lomax is fit, they're going to put Lomax there at standoff rather than John Wilkin. That will be a huge relief to a lot of Saints fans who are not happy with that selection.
And probably a huge relief to John Wilkin as well, because I don't think he's ultra confident playing there.
I don't think
there,
he fancies it as well, but he just throws his hand in for it. Anyway, speaking of Ben Barber, what do you think of him? We've heard all the hype.
I'm disappointed.
I was disappointed. I was expecting a wow performance.
I think he's looking really sluggish, and in fact, to be honest, I think he's quite small, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting, because like I said, we've had all the hype, he come over in a blaze of glory after what happened in Down Under. What a fantastic footballer he was. So he gets his big chance against Wakefield
and against Wigan as well. He didn't really shine against Wigan either, did he? Got that really strange try that ended up getting given.
It's like being at the movies,
yeah.
And you see the they show the
all the trailers.
The trailers. Yeah. You see all the best bits. You go, yeah. Wow, go and watch that movie. You sit there, you go, is that it? That's what that was with Ben Barber.
So
we've seen all the best bits, we've seen all the hype, and when you see it.
So what you're suggesting, Adrian, there's no Academy Award for Mr. Barber?
Not yet, no.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, then we know that Castleford and Leeds have secured home semi-finals in the playoffs, don't we?
We do.
Yep. We know that
We know that Warrington have secured.
We know Warrington are safe.
Yep.
You know we're leading to. I've already given it away. Hokey are safe as well now.
Oh, so you can't keep a secret, can you? You was building it up. You knocked it down.
Because I was going to turn around and say we know Toronto were all right as well. They won the League One Shield.
Yeah, well done to them, by the way.
Well done to them. First overseas team in the history of rugby league.
It's not the Shield. They've actually won promotion.
Yeah, I mean the title.
Finished top
in
the title. Yeah, they got the trophy and everything. And, you know, they played some great stuff over the course of the season.
They got the big trophy, not the wheel trim.
What I was really glad about, though, was the fact that we saw the proper Barrow turn up. Because the last time that they played over in Toronto, I think it was 70 points to 2, and obviously the real Barrow didn't stand up on that occasion.
No.
But
the real Barrow please stand up? Yes, it did.
Yes, and they did. They really took it to them. It was only 8-0 at half time, and although they were only able to add the 2 points, they made them work really hard for the victory. But well done to Paul Rowlett and all his boys. They've deserved it.
Well, it went okay in rehearsal, but fluff me lines. But let's get back to the big game in the qualifiers, and that was Widnes versus Hull Kingston Rovers. Hull KR knew. If they won that game, Super League status is returned back to East Hull.
And it was a really close, tense, narrow affair, wasn't it? It was only 8-6 in favour of Hull Kingston Rovers at half-time. There was Thomas Minns scoring the try for Rovers. Hep Cahill going over for Widnes. One goal from the boot of Lloyd White. And then second half, the only try in it was scored by former Warrington player Ryan Shaw.
What a finish.
And he showed a real clean pair of heels, didn't he, to the to the defence. Really did shoot down that wing, 80 metre finish. Jamie Ellis still had time to miss a couple of penalties as well, just to add to the whole occasion. But ultimately, Hull Kingston Rovers have done it. They have reached that mythical 10 points, which usually guarantees you that status. And fair play to them as well. You know, last year, everything was a bit down. We were hearing rumours of people losing their jobs, losing their homes, etc., etc. And 12 months later, it's all smiles and it's all forgotten.
They're on about that last year, but I've heard it already. Teams are on about it this year.
Well, yes, I think even Lee have mentioned
it. Lee were on about it after the Warrington game.
Yeah, I think Lee have mentioned it a couple of times, haven't they? So how these things change, how times change.
I think Hull did themselves a favour by winning Lee.
Yeah,
and that set it up for them.
I think, to be fair, I mean they've done well, haven't they? They have done well. I mean, okay, they've won a lot of the games narrowly, but at this stage of the season, it's just about winning.
Just win.
It's just winning. It doesn't matter how you play. It's just getting over the line.
And they had to make sure home advantage counts. Okay, they didn't do it against Widnes. Do they fancy the chances against Catalans in the next 8 qualifying match?
Yeah, you would still fancy them to go over and do a job, or you know, you'd fancy them to have the job done with Catalan coming to their own backyard, yes, wouldn't you? So, you know, they're not going to have it all their own way. They have named a slightly different squad though, but that's what having nearly 40 players in your first team squad can do for you.
Doesn't help witnessing clause then, does it?
Definitely not. Right, we've got to thank Sky Sports and Angela Powers for these next couple of minutes, because we're going to hear from James Greenwood and Tim Sheens.
James, man of the match performance there, and you had to run your blood literally to water, didn't you, for that?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know what I mean, we talked about it all week. You know what I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Every game's a tough game in this middle eights, and that was the start of it. This is what we aimed at the start of the season, to win the championship and make a point to Super League and get back up to where we belong.
It was a test of nerves at the end there as well. Two penalties at the last minute as well.
Oh yeah, we've done it tough all year, I suppose. Most of our games we've been hanging on in the last few minutes, so. But it ends up being a tough game, and you know, it's credit to the boys and all these fans over there, as you can hear. It's what we deserve, and we've worked all year hard for it, so we're back.
What does it mean to you, this?
Oh, it means massive, doesn't it? It's, you know, I mean, we were in this situation, the other feeling last year, and that was as soon as we were in them changing rooms after last year, we said this is our aim now, straight away to get back there.
Was that in the back of your mind as well when you were in these last dying minutes of this game?
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what I mean? We've been there before and we come out the other end, and now we've been able to get to the other side of it this time. You know what I mean? Like I say, it's credit to the boys, credit for KR fans for sticking by us, and it's a massive thing for KR.
You can enjoy your last two games now, can't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely can't.
Congratulations, Jim.
Cheers, thank you.
Tim, you did the job. You did it cleanly. You did it with 5 wins in the Super 8s.
Look, a great day for the club. A real great effort from the boys too. I was really happy with the way they defended. Didn't play great, but we did enough to win the game, and our defence was really solid at the back end.
Did you want to keep it from them on the pitch about the result at Warrington?
Once we found out, we decided we'd let them know, particularly when we're in front. So that gave them a little bit of impetus, I think.
Just tell me what it was. What is it they're inside this whole KR team that's got you this win today?
Oh, look, a mixture of experience, some great young kids, a lot of effort from the club, everyone in the club, coaching staff, administrative staff, board of directors. Everyone's really worked together in the one direction. That's just made it a lot easier for me.
And the sound of the crowd. I was just talking to James Greenwood and he said they've been like this all season.
Yeah, they have. And if I'm going to thank anyone, I'm going to thank them, because they've turned up and turned up and turned up. And it all goes well for the club next year to get another opportunity in Super League.
That was like chalk and cheese,
wasn't it?
You listened to James Greenwood and you thought, there's nothing more that he can give. He's absolutely frazzled and tired as well. You can tell it. His emotions are taking over. And then you've got Tim Sheens, who must have been the coolest man on East Hull.
Listen, 700 games as a coach, Australian head coach, won everything that has been to win in Australia. It's nothing.
Yeah, and he's now got a championship winner's medal.
Yeah.
And he's got his team promoted.
Yeah.
All he needs is to add the Super League trophy and the Challenge Cup, and he's got the full lot, hasn't he?
One step at a time. They need to get established back in Super League first, don't they? That's the next challenge for them. But yeah, well done to Hull Kingston Rovers. They'll be thanking the lucky stars. They've got the job done. And hopefully they won't find themselves in that position again where they found themselves this season.
Definitely not. I mean, the other results just to touch on from the Super 8's qualifiers concerned Catalans Dragons, who beat Featherstone Rovers 26-12. I thought they were unconvincing against Catalans.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
that Featherstone side, as gutsy as it was, as great at tackling as it was, and it was a superb defensive effort, you get the feeling better attacking teams would have really put them on the rack.
Without a doubt. Totally agree.
You know, and then there was one other game as well. London Broncos got off the mat, didn't they?
They did. Big win for London. Keeps them in the hunt for a £1 million place.
You know, you wouldn't put it past them, would you?
Lee would be nervous.
I think there's a couple of clubs that are being nervous. Even Widnes are looking over the
shoulders. I think if London Broncos can get a win at Widnes, it comes down to that game at Lee. My word. My word.
My goodness. My goodness. So, do you reckon this is why Dennis Betts sounded so down in his post-match interview?
Probably, because he knew Widnes needed to win the game.
Shall we hear from him?
Yeah.
Dennis, it goes without saying, a heartbreaking defeat in some ways.
Oh, it's, you know, it's hard to take. It is what it is. It's that it got set up for this. It has worked really well for OKR today in this situation, and it's tough to take for us. I felt that we'd done what's right in the game. We just couldn't create enough chances, and we couldn't take some chances when we created them. But I think we had the better of the game. It's just that they had that little bit of tenacity and desire not to lose today that saw them come through the side.
You had a bit of trouble with your attacking shape because you lost more fullbacks. I think that's five you've used in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was, again, two. Losing Danny Craven was a bit, need him straight in the head and stays on the field. And then the first one with Corey, I think it was very similar. And I think when he goes down for a ball, ends up with a knee in the head. And they're the rules now as well, like saying you've got to bring the player off, it's welfare issues. And it killed our attacking structures a little bit, losing. Danny's not trained all week. Aaron Heron-Meyer possibly could have played. It's one of the where we've been a bit disjointed because of what happened to us after the league game. But those are just the reasons that we just didn't function well with the ball. I thought we did enough to win the game today. And again, I know it's one of those old pieces, you've got to give the credit where the credit's due. And I thought today, okay, over tenacious. They just didn't want to give in. And again, that's the best I've seen them play in this group. Even better than when they played against Lee, and it kept him in the fight.
When you did have spells of pressure on the whole KR line, just when it looked like you might go over, a couple of handling errors came into play.
Yeah, a couple of forwards dropped the ball and some short lead stuff, and you can take those things, but like I say, that just builds a little bit of anxiety, and those have been sticking over the last couple of weeks, and they shut us down pretty well.
Well, there he is. He does sound a bit worried, doesn't he?
He does. He's probably more concerned with the Hulky R fans celebrating away in the background as he well. Could, as that put him off.
That's what was really great. Our thanks go to Johnny Lawless for that audio, by the way. Yes. Great interview, Johnny.
Yeah, I think with Dennis Betts, he'd be hoping Hulkinson Rovers don't party too hard and defeat Catalans. That keeps Widnes' hopes alive of avoiding the £1 million game.
It's still interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, London and Catalans to come for the Vikings.
So, this weekend, crunch match. Crunch match, isn't it? That London game against Widnes.
Yes.
It's no wonder that they're televising it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Then there's the small matter of OKR against Catalans as well.
Who have Lee got?
Halifax. I was trying not to mention Lee.
See, Halifax could have a say on this.
Well, they could. They could have a real say. And then Warrington go over to Featherstone. In the Super 8s, well, we've got the small matter of Hull against Wakefield. You've done some tipping, haven't you, of these matches? So I'm just gonna mention and fly through the fly through the fixtures.
Yes.
Then we've got Leeds against Salford, St Helens against Huddersfield, and Wigan hosting Castleford.
Well, based on that, we did some tipping before we came on there. We reckon Leeds will beat Salford. We reckon Saints beat Huddersfield. We reckon could go either way, but we're going to say if Wakefield beat Hull, Wakefield will go on 32 points. That leaves Hull behind on 31. But if Hull win, basically, if they win Wakefield and they win the last game against Castleford, it means Hull will secure that top four place. But if they lose, St Helens will be allowed back into it. Same thing applies to Hull anyway. St Helens as well. But based on what we said in round six, forget Cassford and Leeds, they're going to be in the top two no matter what. We're going to be third, Wakefield fourth, Saints and Hull. We just tucked in behind. But if you go on the tipping round for the next round, we've said Saints beat Salford. Well, I did anyway. Hull, if they beat Castleford, would secure a top four place. And Wigan take on Wakefield, which would end Wakefield's hopes.
I was just going to distance myself from your tips, you see, because I do my own, which I'm no more successful.
I'm not that great. So based on my tips, it'll be a top four of Cass, Leeds, Wigan, Saints and Hull.
Oh, it's an interesting one.
Or Saints or Hull.
Saints or Hull.
Yeah.
So you reckon it's going to come down to that?
Whoever wins both of the last games, if Saints or Hull lose a game, well, it's advantage the opposite team, isn't it?
So that says that, you know, Salford still have a big say in it.
Yeah, they can still make it, Salford, despite that horrid run of defeats they've been on, which they put a stop to in the last round.
What a fantastic result that was, by the way. 52-14 against Huddersfield.
Yeah, so it's a shame for them that they fell away over the last couple of matches, that they put a halt to it a little bit too late, but you never know, they're still in with a shout, but I can't see them crashing into it.
Other results this weekend saw Castleford Tigers defeat Leeds Rhinos. They saw Wigan defeat Hull, and that was an amazing match, to be honest. I really enjoyed it. It weren't sending off in memory of man, you know, for Liam Watts, I don't think.
Well, he lifted the elbow, Watts, so he's going to make connection with a head. You run the risk of doing that.
Nah, he was only swapping hands.
Well, he's not being banned for that game, by the way. The AFL have said it's sending off sufficient.
And have they given Robert Hicks a championship game this week, just out of interest? I've not actually
sure.
looked yet.
I haven't looked.
Talking of the championship, and the championship shield sees the top four heading into the semi-finals secured as Toulouse Olympique, Batley Bulldogs, Sheffield Eagles and Dewsbury Rams. We'll come to what happened in the bottom in just a couple of minutes, but to move on to the Super 8s of the League
Too
One.
Too many Super 8s.
There is. There's a lot of Super 8s. We've already said about Toronto getting up, but it's still wide open down to 7th spot for who's going to secure the extra playoff places. At the moment, you've got Barrow in 2nd on 35 points, so they're secure. You've got Whitehaven in 3rd, they're secure on 33 points. But anything can happen between 4th and 5th, because you've got York with 25 points, Doncaster with 23 points, you've got Keighley with 22 and Newcastle with 22.
And all to play for.
And the other thing that was secured come the finish of the League One shield.
There's too many shields knocking about as
well. Yeah, there's another shield. And that's the fact that London Scholars have secured a place in the final.
Well done to them.
It looks like they're going to play Hunslet. I don't think Hunslet can be overtaken at this stage either, so that's going to be a fascinating final, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Right, we've reached that time of the show where I said about what was happening at the bottom end of the championship, and what a game it was at the weekend involving Swinton and Oldham.
Winner-take-all situation, the losers knew it's the only one place they're going to be next year, and that's in League One. For the winners, it's all about securing certain championship status.
It also meant that Rochdale Hornets could celebrate regardless of the result.
Yes.
And I got to speak before to Andy Maisie, who, as far as chairmen go, he couldn't have asked for a better week for his first week in charge of the club. Here he is. He's our final word. So, Andy Maisie, congratulations on your appointment as chairman of Swinton. Nice to have you with us on the final hooter.
Thank you, Dave. Delighted to be with you.
So, first of all, how did it all come about?
Ooh, how long have you got? Well, it's as you probably know, we've done some sponsorship with Swinton now for a couple of seasons. We got involved the season before this one, just to do some player sponsorship, really, with a couple of guys that we know and obviously work with us. So we sponsored them as players, did a couple of match sponsorships, and it's all sort of stemmed from there, really.
And, well, I suppose as far as you're concerned with coming on board as chairman, you couldn't have asked for a better Sunday, could you? It was a bit of a Carlsberg moment, because, you know, your first game as chairman, you get that really, really good win, you get a fantastic corporate attendance, and 1,000+ on the gate as well. And that win that, in all likelihood, keeps Swinton in the championship.
Well, yeah, it was turned out to be a fantastic day. I mean, when I went to bed on Saturday night, I sort of, it's only when you relax and you think for a moment, and I thought, there's two permutations, it can play out a couple of ways this. I can either be I can be known really as the worst chairman in rugby league history, one game, one defeat, and relegated Swinton. Or, you know, the flip side of that is we win, we secure championship status, and all's well that ends well.
And thankfully it was the latter, wasn't it?
Well, very much so. I mean, with the attendances you touched on, and obviously the corporate room being full as well, they were bonuses. It was all about the results Sunday, obviously, but credit to Stuart and the lads, you know, they've in circumstances that have been difficult, shall we say, this season, they've really stuck to the task at hand, and it's no mean feat, I believe, to stay in that division. It's a very, very tough division to be in, and it's a credit to the guys that they've managed to stay in there.
So what was the game like? Because I can imagine there being nerves a-jangling all over the place, to be honest.
I think what surprised me is how calm Stuart was and the coaching team. We met up on Saturday morning for the, obviously, they do the training session, and it was a great atmosphere, really. I didn't sense any sort of... The only nervous people in the room were myself and the other directors, Alan and Steve Marshall, Steve Wild. We were sort of more nervous than the lads, really, because I think in the bigger, you know, the grander scheme of things and the importance to the club, we probably understood that more than the lads did, you know. But they just conducted themselves as a consummate professionals and got on with it. And, credit to them. Can't really say any more than that.
You had it dubbed as the £100,000 game. What was the feeling behind that?
Yeah, well, we looked at it and we felt that, obviously, we left Rochdale on a bit of a low the week before and felt that, you know, we always knew that the Oldham game would be pivotal in staying up, but we felt that there could possibly be a negative going into it, and, you know, with the Rochdale result, and thankfully, we had a few things that were positives for us, and the announcements of myself and the new board, etc., and we had a boost with the Wigan boys, obviously being made available by Wigan to come in on dual reg as well. So we just looked at it and said, how can we turn this into a really big positive and try and increase the attendance? And we saw the 100k strap line as being something we could possibly promote the game with. And, you know, the 100k, of course, is the difference between the Championship and Championship One funding. The reality is that the losses or the negatives of it are a lot more than 100k, because, well, your sponsorship, of course, won't be as much in Championship One, and your crowds will go down as a result of being relegated. So the 100k is the tip of the iceberg, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, to put it mildly, it's a big job at Swinton, isn't it?
I think it's a big job at any rugby league club. You know, whether you're in the top division or whether you're sort of Championship One, I think taking on a club and the management of a club, whether that be as an individual or a team, it's you're never going to have much spare time and much of an easy life, are you?
Definitely not. No, and a few less hers, I'd imagine, as well.
I think so. I mean, I'm not exactly blessed in that department anyway. So, yeah, the greys are coming along nice, though, I must say.
Is this where you can use your experience, having previously served on a professional board at Lee?
I'd like to think so. I think it's like anything in life. You know, you learn lessons from experiences, don't you? And you know, there is a massive difference in running a day to day business and a sports club. And I think, you know, the lessons that sort of I picked up along the way at Lee, and obviously even just in the amateur game as well, helping out on the administration side, I think you can always learn from all experiences and certainly apply all the good things that you learn and try and stay away from the negatives as well.
I was going to come to that, because, I mean, you're a fervent supporter, aren't you, of the game at all levels. You've been involved at Lee East, you've been involved in the Lancashire on the committee side of things. With you now going over to Swinton, does that lessen any?
Not, my interest in the game is obviously, you know, in the grassroots of it. I've still... You know, I'm a firm believer. You know, if I do get a spur Saturday afternoon, it'll be stood down at Lee East and watching the lads down there. You know, obviously time now will be more of a premium than it has been for the last few years. So, you know, first and foremost, I run my businesses day to day, and then, you know, my spare time and you make time to carry out your chairman and your board duties, but something has to spend less time assisting the amateur game and the guys at Lancashire, but certainly they've all got my number, you know, they all know where I am, and the phone will never be switched off to those guys, because I'm passionate about not only what we've achieved in the last couple of years, you know, with yourself at Lancashire, working with you and Paul Winfield and people like that, you know, we've achieved some big things, but I'm pretty confident that they can go on to bigger things as well, and I'll be really keenly following that and watching with interest how they get on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to Swinton, I mean, they're one of the oldest clubs in existence, aren't they? There's so much history. It's a fantastic institution. So, in a way, do you feel all that weight of history on your back, or is it like a new start?
No, I think it's, we're currently planning ahead for the future. And one of the big things for me with Swinton was very much the heritage and history of the club. You know, it's a massive... It's a massive platform to have, I believe. I mean, I've no problem whatsoever with expansion of the game, and I believe that the sport, you know, it deserves to be watched and viewed by a wider audience. But certainly, I'm a massive believer that the heartland clubs, if you like, the sorts of traditional clubs, I think, I think they've got to be valued, and certainly Swinton, there's not many more historic clubs, I don't believe, in the game than Swinton, with 150 years behind them, and it's something that I believe gives us an advantage moving forward, because if we've got the newfound ambition, we want to get back to Swinton as a town as well. That's crucial, and I think, you know, using all the tools we've got available to us, you know, one of them is a massive rich history and heritage that we can interest people with, and we can hopefully attract people with as well.
Now, you touched on it there, Andy, but there is almost a lost generation of fans that have never seen the team playing Swinton. Okay, it's had the occasional season playing at the Willows when that was standing, and also at Moor Lane as well. So do you feel it's really, really imperative to then get the club back to its roots, so to speak?
It's crucial in my view, in my mind. You know, I believe that, you know, there's two ways we could go with this. We could sort of muster on as we are doing and playing outside of Swinton. I think the Swinton name, over a period of time, it will lessen. You know, unfortunately, like you said, there will be a lost generation now that have never sort of grown up with a rugby league club in Swinton, unfortunately. And, you know, the older sort of sections of the fan base are the cornerstone of the club right now. You know, they're the guys and the ladies and gentlemen that keep this club going. Let's make no mistake about it. You know, it's the budget every year is sort of it's propped up first of all by that loyal hardcore of people. But for us to have a future, I believe it's got to be back in Swinton, and that's not something that will happen overnight. Let's be realistic about things. But we are now, you know, as I'm talking to you now, Dave, I'm driving over to the land in Edgecroft, which we're holding conversations with the council about, and the serious plans taking place to, you know, get a stadium in the planning phases and move it along.
I mean, that sounds sort of really, really encouraging, that, and I'm sure any Swinton fan listening to this will be buoyed by what you've just said. But in a way, do you think they'll also be thinking, hang on, we've heard this before and nothing's happened in the last 10 or 15 years? I know you mentioned these things do take time, though, don't they?
They do, and that's my one of my biggest fears was, how do I sell myself to these people? Because the problem that they have got is that there's a lot of people trying, you know, and try to not only do something with the stadium, but to grow the club. And I have a sort of view on what I believe is the right way, and time will tell, you know, whether that is or not, you know. But I just believe that the guys I'm working with as a management team, it's not, I'll be clear, it's not a one-man show. It's all about, you know, I don't want to use any strap lines that we've previously used in the past, but we are all in it together, and it's about a management team, supporters all coming together. The supporters' trust is now on the board. We've appointed them officially as the chairman of the supporters trust. He's now officially a director of the club, and it's a real management team and structure that's going to take it forward. And I believe that we've got something pretty unique and special in that, you know, we're going to take the best bits from sort of investment from individuals. You know, there'll be investment from individuals. There's also, you know, the input of the supporters' trust. And, you know, I think we're finding a combination of all the different permutations of ownership, and we're going to try and find a bit of a hybrid and take it forward with it.
Is this where you can kind of like take inspiration from clubs like Batley, who have confounded the critics year after year after year and seem to be one of the few that does make a profit come the end of the season?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the first and foremost, every year when we, you know, we're setting out for 2018 now with the budget, the very first box we need to tick is, does this budget stack up? Is this realistic? Is the income that we're putting into that section of the budget, is that realistic income? You know, can we achieve that? If not, we don't go any further, and we revisit it and we make it work. And, you know, likewise with the expenditure, you know, we cannot pay players that we can't afford to have. You know, it's nice to go out and make the big signings and set goals of top four and championship, you know, leadership and things. We've got to set realistic goals, we've got to budget correctly, and I believe we've got to punch above our weight in terms of, we've got to find players who are, you know, hungry, buy into Stuart's philosophy, buy into the ethos of the club, and, you know, we punch above our weight, and we don't spend money we've not got, but we make sure we're competitive, and year on year we increase our revenue, and we, you know, we make the budget, you know, based on sustainability, but with a view to ambition as well.
Andy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for giving that insight, and all the best. I know you've got some excellent people there at Swinton.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.